Blog Talk Radio.
Thursday morning edition of the $12 Radio Show. It's September the 26th, it's September the 29th of 2016. We're here at the Ramblewood Studios, of course, at the northwest corner of City Park here in beautiful Fort Collins, Colorado. As I say almost every day, come visit us, come say hi, come out to Colorado and spend a little bit of time. I've said this many times, come out and visit, don't move. We've got enough problems out here already. They're building in every corner in every direction right now. if you live in this town, you realize that every street is being worked on. Now I know that it's still just the beginning of fall. So streets are torn up every summer. And they have to get it done before the weather turns cold. This is nothing new. But I believe that out of all the streets in Fort Collins, there are three that are not being worked on. It's a conservative estimate, but it's what we're working with right now. Let's see here. What's going on here? What in the world are we talking about here on a Monday morning? Oh, I should tell you that our guest today is comedian Vincent V. Hill. We'll get a chance to talk to him after the 10:15 break, and you'll be able to give us a call here in the studio. You can talk to either him or I or both of us at 646-564-9650. You can get a hold of us either way. So keep that in mind as you're listening to the show. And then the other big announcement, actually that was an update right there. The big announcement about the show is today we're on at 10 a.m. Tomorrow we're on at 10 a.m. As always, as we've done for the last year, We hit a milestone yesterday, by the way. We hit 150 episodes. We're going to have a show on Sunday, but only on Sunday from this point on. So it's going to be a once weekly show, and I'm so excited to tell you that there's going to be a couple of comedy clips. I've already procured them. And there's going to be some comedy interviews and interviews with people in general. Very cool. We've got comedian Bob Gaudette. We've got comedian Brett Crandall, country singer Woody Purcell, and also a gentleman here in town, Dustin Michael. He's gained some notoriety. He's riding his he's cycling across America to raise money and awareness for cancer. So he's doing some cool stuff. That's Sunday. And then every Sunday after that, and all of the Sunday shows will be at 4 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And as always, if you don't live in the Mountain Time Zone, now would be the time to adjust your clocks accordingly. Okay? All right. Trivia question for the day. Are you ready to get it going right here? I don't have a quote for the day, so we have to go for a trivia question. Question, blood and fire is the motto for which organization? Is it the Salvation Army? Is it... Oh, it just vanished. It's the Salvation Army. Ah, golly. That's what happens when you don't write down, you know, you do things in a hurry. And those are the results that you get right there. Donald Trump's still in the news. He just can't let things alone. The former Miss Universe pageant winner from Venezuela, Alicia Mercado, I believe is how you name her name. He referred to her on Fox and Friends a couple of days ago as Miss Piggy. Now, just generally not a good thing to refer to anybody, you know, male or female, but especially female, because there's such a double standard there. And, you know, the woman is still stunning at any size. Because people are whatever they are at any size. And, you know, she's like 5'8 and about 110 pounds. I was saying this yesterday. So that means to maintain that body weight, you eat two or three times a month. But she's put on a considerable amount of weight. And they said something like she's up to about 170, had gotten up to about 170. So she's been in the gym and she's been working out. And she's trying to work her weight down. And Trump, he replied with, you know, he said, you know, I don't even know Alicia Mercado, but I saved her job. I didn't even go past the headline after that. I don't even know Alicia Mercado. Now, it's his pageant. He owns it. He owns the television rights to it. He owns the name. And then the winner goes out and has different engagements for sponsors the entire year. So they've met. It's a pretty lucrative, high profile part of somebody's entertainment portfolio, I would imagine. And to say, well, I didn't, you know, sure, I said she's fat, but I barely know the woman. No, she's not that fat. It's not nice to say that about people. And you know, you did say it. That's my favorite thing about media today, is that if somebody says something and then they come back later and they change their story and they did it to deny it, well, I didn't say that, you know, one of those type of things, they can go back and fact check it and then run it on video. It's beautiful. I really enjoy that. The first time I saw that was not on the news. It was on Jon Stewart's Daily Show, who I miss so much, especially during the election time here. Wait a second. I have to grab my beverage. I feel a lot better today, and I also feel a bit more energized. My brain's working a bit better. The beverage is filled with caffeine. Oh, my. Yes, it is. Okay, so Trump, we agree, is not the crown jewel of American politics. He's not who the even who the Republicans really wanted if they'd had their first choice. I guess that's what I've heard. I don't know how that works because he generated the most votes, but now they're not that thrilled about it. Hillary Clinton, they're both kind of the reluctant candidates. And so people are thinking, you know, maybe they'll vote Green Party or Libertarian. So I don't know anything about Libertarians. I've just heard the word. And Gary Johnson is turning out to be a real boob. He's the Libertarian candidate. They asked him about a battle that in Syria that was near the city of Aleppo. And he looked blankly at the reporter and said, you know, I don't know where that is. And, you know, here's the thing. You don't need to know where it is. I don't need to know where it is. But neither one of us want to become president of the most powerful nation on the planet. The guy who's running the show for the military for America should have a good idea of the hot spots in the world. What was the other thing that he said today? There was another quote that he had, and it was another great big whopper, and I can't think of what it is. But he's just truly showing his the level of the genius of the Libertarians. Jill Stein is the Green candidate. I don't know a lot about her. There's no chance if you vote for Stein or for Gary Johnson that they're going to win. The only third party candidate that had a shot was Bernie. He might not have won, but he would have been the first candidate in history to have a legitimate shot. And it would have been so much fun to have seen him as a debate. It would have been great to see him shake things up, but not to be. Last night in Major League Baseball, the Rockies, you know, I was stunned by this. The Colorado Rockies, we're here in Colorado, by the way, in case you didn't know that. We're here in Fort Collins, I mentioned before. The Rockies have had a very rocky season, so to speak, up and down and winning streaks and losing streaks. They're 74 and 84 at this point. They're 10 games under 500. They've been beaten by scores of 14-1 and 12-3 in the last couple of days. After at least a 4 or 5 game losing streak, and losing 8 of their last 10, they won a gem, 2-0 over the San Francisco Giants. So that was fun to see. You got to give credit where credit's due. That was last night. They're going to play again tonight, the Rocks and the Giants, and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the end of the home series, the last home series of the season, and also the season finale, the Colorado Rockies and the Milwaukee Brewers. In the NFL, in Thursday Night Football, tonight's game will be the Miami Dolphins and the Cincinnati Bengals, so be sure to tune that game in if you're interested. I'm not sure if they're still on CBS at this point. They do like a 50-50 split of their season. They do the first several games on CBS, and then everybody can see it, and then they move over to the NFL Network where you have to get, you know, you have to get serious cable. I saw my last cable bill, by the way. It was we'll just say it was a frightening thing. Can I say that right now? I don't know if I should the number or the name of the company. Well, I guess I can say the name of the company. The people that supply the internet service for the $12 radio show are Comcast. I like the service. You know, the internet's not as fast as it could be. The cable tends to skip a little bit, but when it works perfectly. And I'll give credit again, their customer service. The last time I called, I had a call about my statement about my bill, and I went from the automated machine picking up my call to talking to a live representative within 3 minutes. I remember spending days on the phone waiting to speak to someone, anybody from from Comcast at that point. But should I tell you? Or maybe you're gonna just think I'm cheap. Nah, I'll just keep it to myself. But trust me, you can go ahead and also just think that I'm cheap. It's 10:17. We're getting close. Actually, we're just past the 15-minute break here for the day, and the first quarter of the show is at hand. So let's go ahead and take a break. Let's play a little bit of music. Let's see here. Let's. I don't think I've played this song on the air yet. This is a really cool guy. He was probably the ambassador for Cajun and Zydeco music in Louisiana. And Stanley Durrell, whose band was referred to as Buckwheat Zydeco, was the king of Zydeco. The best stuff you'll ever hear. He made the accordion sound cool. And he passed away recently. This is one of the big songs that he had that crossed over into a mainstream audience early on. Take a listen to this back, I think, from the late 80s. On a Night Like This, from Buckwheat Zydeco. On the 12-hour radio show.
On a night like this, I'm so glad you came around. Hold on to me so tight and heat up and coffee ground. We got so much to talk about and so much to reminisce. It sure be right on a night like this. Well, on a night like
this. It's Buckwheat Zydeco with David Bublitz here on the $12 Radio Show. It's episode 151. I had a phone call there and I lost it, so I don't know if that was Vince trying to reach the show or not. But if you're listening to the show right now, Vince, call back, because every once in a while there's gremlins in the system and that can't be accounted for. But we will be talking, I imagine, soon to comedian Vincent Vigil as our guest this morning on the $12 radio show. I went to see there were two things. I saw the Magnificent Seven. I think I mentioned this a couple of days ago, and I enjoyed it so much. And a friend of mine treated, and we enjoyed it so much. We both are kind of semi-retired, and So he had decided that he wanted to go again. And I enjoyed the movie so much. It was like a couple of little kids. We saw it on Monday. And then we saw it a couple of days later, yesterday, you know, on Wednesday. And just as enjoyable. I mean, everything about the movie is fun. Denzel is just Denzel. He's playing the Clint Eastwood part. He's the lone stranger who's going to come in and clean up the town. He's got a great rest of the cast. He's got Chris Pratt, the guy who steals the show, if I didn't mention it last time, is Ethan Hawke. I mean, if they take the film seriously at all, because it is a popcorn movie, but if they take the film seriously at all, his performance is definitely Oscar-worthy nominee. But so it strikes me the film is very entertaining. I won't say it's a great movie, but it's a very, very entertaining movie. I defy anybody, and I don't like Westerns necessarily. But we went the first time, and we saw it in XD. Now, they're adding all this technology to films, allegedly to make them better, but, you know, it's so they can add a few more dollars on to the price of the ticket. So my friend Michael had gone up to buy the tickets, and you know, I'm on kind of a tight budget, and he had offered to buy them, so I sure. We went Wednesday, and we went there at night, so it was full price, but it was in XD, which is really cool. The XD, you know, it's got the extra wide screen. You know, it's got, you know, the stadium seating. It's wall to wall screen, and it's almost IMAX. It is their version of IMAX. I would define it as. And the digital sound, it's a digital surround sound. So you're hearing dialogue coming out of the front speakers, and you're hearing the horses out of the back speakers. And when the sound hits its crescendo and it hits its peak, the chairs actually rattle, and it's pretty cool. But he buys the tickets the second time yesterday, and that was the first time that I saw how much they were. It was 20 excuse me. It was $25 for two movie tickets. I know it's just me. I've turned into my grandparents. It's not a matter that it's not worth it necessarily. It's just I realize I'm kind of out of the loop for doing anything like this on a regular basis. Wow, $12.50 for a movie. And, you know, it's $9 to see an ordinary film, but again, they add the XD screen. They should do that for all the films. But they add it. They have, you know, just special events to do that with, and it's like 3D. It's a good way for them to raise a little revenue stream, as they like to say, and add $3 to your ticket price. Let's see here, television history and news and history. Let's see what we got here. You know what? I'm going to go ahead real quickly here, take a break. And I'm going to go ahead and see if I can get a hold of Vincent. So I'm going to go ahead and play a song here. Going to take a bonus break here and play some. What are we going to play? Let's play something. Let's play something fun. Let's play Weapon of Choice from Fatboy Slim. My name is. Attract the worm. song, and go ahead and end it abruptly, right? Hey, we've got, unless I screwed it up, I believe we have Vincent Vigil on the phone. Vince, are you there?
Hello, yes.
Good morning. It's good to have you here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm glad that you're able to find some time to join the fun. I had a chance for the first time to finally get a chance to see you perform recently, and I was impressed. It was very entertaining.
Oh, thank you.
And I mean, I've been doing this a long time, and after a while, watching other comics is not necessarily a lot of fun.
I agree.
Yeah, you know, you just like, okay, same joke, same this, same that, and it was very nice and original, and it was you, and we were. I'll go ahead and confess to the people listening to the show, it's a very unconventional setting.
Yeah. Indeed.
Do you want to describe the setting, or should I?
Well, let's see. If you've ever gone to let's say a meat market, and then as you were standing there and you were buying meat, raw meat in your hand, and the butcher gave it to you, and you thought to yourself, man, you know, the only thing that would be better than getting this meat from this butcher would be someone telling me jokes right now and drinking. That would be fantastic. And then boom, you made it happen at like the coolest venue I've ever done comedy.
People have been trying to do this. It's a fusion thing. They've been trying to do it for years because, you know, I was thinking of it from the other direction. People are watching comedy and they're thinking, sure, we're having fun, but could somebody cut some meat? And so, you know, we're just looking at it from different perspectives. It's a real strange place, but the venue is the people there are really responsive, and the show's in Loveland, Colorado. If you live outside of the northern Colorado area, Loveland, not the most exciting town that you're going to run across. So if you're performing in Loveland on any given night, you are the biggest deal in Loveland on that given night.
I had a lot of fun that night. The venue, the Boren Bull, I believe it's called?
Absolutely, yes.
Boren Bull, fantastic setting, and the owner, very, very cool guy. As a matter of fact, we're planning on buying all of our meat from him from now on, just because of the balls that this guy has. Right there next to the counter with all this butchery. It's fantastic. I had a lot of fun, man. Thank you for having me on that show.
Well, you know, the strange thing is that when I had gotten a call about doing the show, I was working for a lady and doing shows out at a hotel out west of town in Loveland. And that show ended, and she gave me a call. And the way she was describing it, it sounded like a delicatessen that also had a tavern. And I thought, well, that's not so bad. And then you walk in there, and then it's like you said, they're out there. It's not just a meat market. They're there cutting away and sawing away and working on it. And but again, when I heard meat market, at the very least, you know, like when you go to Safeway and you pick up a steak, at least they're taking care of that behind closed doors.
Right. I think that would be the best venue to invite some open micers down and be like, well, this is what happens when, you know, you suck on stage. They take you in back and they lop you up. And it's day. You know,
that was kind of like the first time I went to Montana, and it was a real rough bar, and it was a hunter's bar, and they had all the trophy heads up on the wall, and all I could think, if I don't do good, I'm going to be the head that people are going to be looking at on the wall.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've gotten that feeling a few times working on the road. Well, you're driving, there's just nothing. There's nothing out there. And you're like, what is stopping them from getting rid of me? Just me being funny. That's it. That's all I can do. So I became funny very quickly.
Well, yeah, there's a little bit of pressure. But also, it reminds us that comedy, they always say, is therapy, but it's also a drug, too. Because when I was still traveling a lot, I would find myself, we were talking about Montana, I would drive to Montana back and forth for just to do a 2-day show.
Right.
And as you're driving the 10th hour on the way there, you realize there had to have been something closer. I had to have had something better to do. I needed a girlfriend. That was your lady friend there. Was that your girlfriend or your wife that was there that night?
Becky Springer. She's my wife. Been my wife for 4 years now.
Well, isn't that nice? You look very good. You looked very good together. It was good to see when people bringing their spouses. Well, because it was funny because you're there, so your spouse is in the front row, and Ms. Benfield, one of the other comics, had her husband on the show, and I made a joke about camouflage, and her husband is wearing camouflage, real visibly. Now, what he doesn't realize is he's sitting to my right, and I'm blind in my right eye. So I'm not being polite.
Yeah. Oh, it's something about the spouses of comics. They know. I mean, they've been through it. They've heard all the jokes. Half the jokes are about them, and they build up a real thick skin real quick. I know. My wife, she's very particular about the jokes that I tell about her. I could probably be a lot funnier on stage, but there are things that I hold back because she's like, "Don't you talk about that up there?" Oh, okay. But the rest of the time, she's pretty open minded about it. She likes she likes when I talk about her.
You seem to have a pretty spirited but also pretty respectful take on there. It was all in fun. It was all real things that happened. So many guys are so, they're just so sexist and nasty about it. But I like your approach though. Letting her decide if, you know what, I'm just not comfortable with you telling that joke because it's about them. And the person that you're telling the joke, if they're that close to you, they should be comfortable.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I was gonna ask you this to start things out here. You've been doing comedy how long?
5 years now.
5 years. That's pretty cool.
Yep.
And you've been working with one of my favorite people. I know you've worked with several names, and you've worked done some nice rooms, but you've been working with Chris, a mutual friend of both of ours. And if there is not, there has to be eventually be a movie about Chris's life made.
Oh,
whether
absolutely.
Whether
I'm
it's
sure
a document
based on his book.
Oh, there you go. I didn't realize he was working on a book.
Oh, yeah. Cool. He's got an autobiography coming out probably next year. He's been working on it for the last few years since I've known him. He's been my friend for maybe 7-8 years.
Yeah.
And he's the person who got me my start in comedy, as a matter of fact. Who better to get you started than Chris Fonseca? That's fantastic, but he was
now for
very
for everybody else out there. I was just gonna say before we go too much further, so we don't lose anybody here. Chris
right.
is for those of you who haven't seen Chris or don't know the name. Chris is he's a nationally touring headliner, and he also plays theaters. He's got a considerable amount of TV credits, and that in and of itself would make him a big deal. He's done the Letterman. Basically, every late night show that you can do, he's done.
Yep.
And he's done it a couple of times, and he's done them well. But what makes the story, I won't say that makes him special, but it makes it unique, is the fact that he's got cerebral palsy. He's the best guy in the world. But and once you're talking to him for more than 5 minutes, you're not even thinking about that anymore. You're just concentrating on him being a good guy. So I would imagine that would be a nice entry into into comedy. So how did you guys run across each other?
It's a funny story. I'm an electrician by trade, and back in 08, the work kind of ended. There was a downsizing of all the companies, and I went to work for a hotel doing maintenance. And Chris was staying there. He was doing a show in Denver, and he had some issues with his room. I went to go handle him, and I walked in, and there he is in his wheelchair. Back then, it was when he was drinking. He's quit drinking since then. He's 4 years sober now, I believe. There he is drinking during the day. And I walked in, and I said, "Hey, I'm here to do this thing." And he said, "Okay." I said, "Hey, what are you doing in town?" And he says, "I'm doing a comedy show. I'm a comedian." And I was like, "Oh, that's nice." not necessarily remembering who he was, but he insisted I watch this video of him on Letterman back in the 90s. And I took a look at it, and I came back to him the next day, and I said, "You're kid, dude. I remember watching that on Letterman. You're that guy." And he was like, "Yep." And we just started hanging out, and I went with him to his show, and I was blown away. I'd never been to a live comedy show before. That was the first one. And it was just, it was amazing. They had a comedy competition afterwards. Everyone tell their best street joke, like joke. And I won, and he said, "You ever think about doing stand up?" And I was like, "Well, no, but now I am." Took a couple of years for me to get started, but yeah, that's how we met.
Once you stumble across it, you've either been thinking about it your whole life, or if you do stumble across it, once you do, it's contagious and you get hooked on it. You get the sound of laughter. There's just nothing like it, and especially when it's being generated towards, you know, it's a physical thing. You made them laugh.
Right.
And it's if it all works out well, it's a pretty cool way to make a living, I think. Let me ask you this: what do you think is the most colorful show that you've been to? You know, the meat market aside.
Yeah, the best the venue that I performed in, or that I watched a show.
Oh no! Where you personally performed in?
Well,
any rough rooms? Any rooms that were just? It could be good or bad, but I'm hoping it's a story about you know, where everything went wrong.
Well, pretty much every show I did for the first year was was that. when Chris took me on the road with him a couple years ago, we ended up at the hangar up in North Dakota, Williston, North Dakota. A bunch of oil riggers, you know. I'm from, you know, construction myself, so if I had just talked about construction for 15, 20 minutes, everything would have been fine. But I was, you know, still learning how to be a comedian, getting my legs under me. And I just went for the most outrageous things that I could possibly say, and after about 10 minutes of people not laughing, I looked at Chris, and he looked at his watch, and he was like, you know, basically, do your time, goddammit. I hired you for a reason. And so the last maybe 3 minutes of the show, I was fairly entertaining, and then I got off maybe a few minutes early, and after the show, it was that same situation. We're out in the middle of nothing. And I was like, these guys hate me. Like, they really hate me. After Chris got up, obviously, the room took off, and everyone was screaming and howling, and it was great. But after the show, these guys came up to me, and they were like, "Dude, you were so funny." I'm like, "Really? Why didn't anybody laugh? I don't get it."
Well, I mean,
that was probably the most
awkward
show I had.
The amount of laughs aside that you get when you're the first person on stage, you're opening up for yourself. There's a certain sacrificial lamb element to,
right.
to what you do. And for some reason, some people really, my mom used to come to all my shows when I'd be doing shows in the area. And, there are audiences that laugh out loud, and then there are audiences that are more reserved, and there's some stuff they just sit back and take in. They're entertained. As she put it, it's a shame their face doesn't show any signs of it.
Right?
Yeah.
That was another thing. This was the first time I'd been on a stage that had that spotlight that was so bright you couldn't see the people.
I don't like that.
You know, been in venues. You know what I mean? Where you can't see past the light. There's nothing else. You don't see the people. One thing I actually really enjoyed about the Boring Bull in Loveland was that you could see the crowd and you could interact with them. And that's one of my favorite things to do is crowd work. I love talking to people and getting their stories and understanding, you know, making a connection with them based on mutual experiences.
I was just going to say, I didn't mean to interrupt, but it's fun because if you do it right, you not only get their stories, but they more often than not weave back into your own stories. And then that way people can't tell when you're doing your act and when you're working the crowd. That's when you really pulled off something. That's when you've pulled off the magic act.
Right, exactly. That's one of my favorite things is getting off stage. I did a show in Erie, as a matter of fact, recently for Michael Amaya. He's a local comic that also books shows. I did maybe 20 minutes of my material and a 45-minute set. The rest of the time was strictly crowd work. And the responses afterwards were, did you pay those people to be in the audience? Because everything just went so smooth. I mean, it was like you had rehearsed all of your, talking to the people. I was like, no, it was just one of those perfect shows. Everything just fell in line.
Every once in a while, it just works perfectly. It's always going to work to a certain degree, but it's a game of percentages. You know, if you do just your material, it's going to work. But if your crowd work does connect, it's really going to make some noise and it's really going to connect. And people tend to remember that. Well, that was my favorite thing. You were talking about doing the show where you've got the light directly in your face. I'm doing a theater show in November, and it's an old fashioned theater that they had vaudeville in like the late 1800s, early 1900s. So it's pretty cool venue, but theater lights, blinding, and then there's an orchestra pit that separates the edge of the stage and the front row. So there's no talking to anybody.
Yep. Yeah. It's could just you and your material.
I don't know. I'm thinking that this is like the first time that I've really headlined something in quite a while, because I took some time away, but this will be the test, because it'll either be a good solid 45, 50 minutes, an hour. It could be 12. It could be 12 minutes. We don't know. I'm hoping. You don't know. That's the thing about comedy. It's kind of a crapshoot.
Right.
What shows, you got anything coming up that you'd like to mention?
I book a regular monthly showcase in Platteville at a venue called the Silver Spur. We've been doing it now for, this is the fifth month. Hippie Man is going to be there, John Novosad. Opening for him is Jake Brown, or not Jake Brown.
Nate Brown.
Oh, boy. Nate Brown, thank you. Yes,
sure.
Nate Brown is going to be featuring for him. I host the show, so I do a few minutes here and there, but it's been a great venue. Crowds have been kind of building up. It's a small town, so pretty much everyone in town is invited to the show. But we've had people coming from Denver, from Longmont, from Greeley.
I would tell people out there right now that if you live within the sound of my voice, that is a good show and it's worth the drive, because if you don't know these names, we've already done the sales pitch on Vince. He's as solid as they come. Nate might be the most modest guy I've ever met. Sometimes he's the funniest guy in the room, and he's the only guy that doesn't know it. And hippie, it is. It's strange. And then hippie man John Nova said, if you come up and see him, you know, he's the real deal. He's been doing this. You know, he's one of the only people in Denver that's been doing it longer than I have, nonstop.
Right.
And he's also been seen on Last Comic Standing, and also when he's doing the late show with Craig Ferguson.
Yep.
With Ferguson,
yep.
Yeah. So I mean,
times.
It's a small town. It's probably not a huge venue, but they're going to get a chance to see the kind of show that you'd have to drive down to Denver to go to the Comedy Works to see.
Absolutely, and especially with a smaller venue, I feel there's an intimacy that happens in the room where you're just there, you're part of it. It's very intense and satisfying. Where you're I think the room fits 50, 60 people, something like that. We've had it to 45 or 50, and it just feels incredible. The energy in the room. It's a great venue. Yeah, I would highly recommend anybody listening come down to the Silver Spur. It's on Main Street in Platteville.
Cool.
On Sunday nights at 7 p.m.
So specifically, we know that it's Sunday at 7 p.m. When is the date of the next one?
Let's see, October 23rd.
Sunday, October
23rd.
Sunday, yep. October 23rd. So you've got plenty of time to make plans. Do you buy tickets in advance? Do you do that as a door?
The whole show is sponsored by Doughboy Subs and the Silver Spur, so there is no cover charge, and the food is amazing. Doughboy Subs is the restaurant inside the bar. They just opened it recently, and the pizzas, the calzones, everything's fantastic there. The food is great.
Well, I will vouch for that. I will vouch for that then as well. So I just got done saying that you're going to see a show that you'd have to drive down to Denver to see, which is fine, but you know, you've got to battle the traffic back and forth. You've got to find a parking place. You've got a drink minimum, whether you would like one or not. And chances are good. I think the least expensive ticket in a club is $12-14. So that's, you know, if you haven't heard about it. That's a pretty well kept secret outside of Platteville. So be sure to head out there and go see one October 23rd.
Absolutely. And if folks just friend me on Facebook, I can direct them to the event page every month.
Cool. So that's keep that in mind. And where how is the venue listed on online? Are they listed under Silver Spur?
Yeah. Go to Doughboy Subs. At the Silver Spur.
Okay.
And that'll take you right there. They've got a Facebook page and with some of their food listed on the menu items listed on the page. And so, I mean, if anything, you would go there for the food, and the people that work there are awesome. They're very good people. And then on top of that, being able to see nationally touring headline comics for a night in a very intimate setting for no cover. It's a win-win.
It's a win-win, absolutely. Let me just take a break here and remind people here that the show, the 12-hour radio show for the last year, has been every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. 5 weeks, and starting this coming Sunday, it's going to move to a once weekly Sunday show. Once weekly with guests at 4 o'clock Mountain Standard Time. So be sure to tune in. I can't believe it got me. It's so much better to do this show when there's guests, right? Because I've got, you know, there's a conversation to bounce off of. But I've got four people on the first show to talk to. So you know, in the new format, so it's kind of cool. And
right.
two of them are comics. One's a musician, and the other one works for a nonprofit. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, and then so let's see. So this week we had photographer Moses Street. We had somebody from mental health with Miller. I can't think of his name here. His first name. I can't read my own handwriting, but his last name is Richardson. Vince is here today, and don't forget tomorrow to tune in to musician Tim Burns. We're coming into the final stretch here, and I don't want to. I was hoping to ask you. we usually ask the guests if they'd like to play five questions. Would you like to play?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Now, remember, there's no prizes. You know, if I find some prizes, I'll be sure to send some to you. But as of right now, the prize closet is empty. Let's see here. Favorite comedian, living and dead?
Favorite comedian? Oh. I'm going to say David Bublitz. No, I'm just kidding. No. favorite comedian, living or dead? Probably the largest impact that any comic had on me was Richard Pryor. And to this day, he's probably my favorite stand-up comic.
I can definitely see that. And the other part of the question I forgot to ask was, who's somebody that if you had the money, you would pay to see? And that is obviously you just answered it the same way. Now, amongst current contemporary comedians that are alive and still working, who is a comic that is one of your favorites that you would pay to see?
I'm a big Louis C.K. fan. I like the storytelling, and his brand of comedy seems to match mine. And I've seen just about every one of his specials. He's probably my favorite working comic right now.
He's very prolific. He's got he's kind of like Carlin was in his prime. He's got a new special, a new album out almost every year. Yeah. And that's
exactly.
Pretty. And, you know, for those of you that don't know a lot about the technical aspect of doing stand-up comedy, that's a lot of writing. That's a lot of performing. let's see here. Here's an easy one. What do you like on your pizza?
Everything. Except anchovies and
pineapple?
Just anchovies. That's the only thing. Everything.
Okay.
I love everything. Love every combination.
So pineapple and jalapeno on the same pizza along with everything else.
That's actually, I think, my wife's favorite pizza right there. Yes, that one goes too. The only thing I won't eat are little fish. They have to be raw and tuna.
Yeah, no, I'm more along the supreme route myself. The combination, some sausage, some peppers,
yeah.
Some pepperoni, the peppers, the onions, the black olives, the mushrooms.
Oh, yeah.
Little extra cheese maybe in there. Let's see. On your next road trip, if you could pick three artists' music to listen to, who would they be?
Oh, indeed. As a matter of fact, this is the list every time I go anywhere. Guns N' Roses, anything from Appetite for Destruction or the entire album. R.A. the Rugged Man, East Coast Underground Hip Hop, and Mass Days, East Ground Underground Hip Hop, East Coast.
I said I liked it. You're the first person to just rattle off the answer on that one. Most people kind of, but you knew that immediately. That means you some time in that means you spent some time in a car.
Indeed. Yes, sir. I've got a few miles under my belt. So yeah, absolutely. The motivation, the focus, the taking my mind off of where I'm going to end up once I get to the venue, it's great to be empowered once I arrive. And that's what I get from those three artists.
Well, Mr. V Hill, I'm going to tell you that the 25, 30 minutes that we had a chance to talk went by very quick, and our time is almost up, but I had a lot of fun. And hopefully if you had enough fun, you'll come back and do the show again sometime in the future.
Yes, sir.
So don't forget the next show with Vincent V. Hill at the Silver Spur and Doughboy Subs out in Platteville is October the 23rd. Ladies and gentlemen, the lovely and talented Vince V. Hill. You have a good day, and I hope that I'll run into you somewhere along the way sometime pretty soon.
Hopefully I'll be seeing you at your show at the theater. November.
Okay. I have this nightmare every night the last week that I walk out and there's no one in the room. The theater holds 450 people, and I just there's somebody over on the side with a stick saying, you know, you got to do your time. It's like Chris, you got to do your time. Yeah.
I don't know if it's worse doing a show with nobody or a show with one person, but we'll find out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm just crossing my fingers. I don't know who I'm talking to in the other, you know, in the big scheme of things. But you know, hey, whoever's in charge, you know, give me at least 10 or 12. Give me something to work with. All right. Indeed. Well, if nothing else, if I don't see you before, I'll see you the 10th of November at the Rialto.
Fantastic. Thanks,
all right,
Dave.
My friend. Hey, you take care. Vince V. Hill, ladies and gentlemen, good to have him on the show. It's always an entertaining process with him. A good good guy. He's one of the people that I've in Northern Colorado that I've just recently had a chance to meet. Let me remind you here a little bit about the format change here. We've got on the show coming up this Sunday, comedian Bob Gaudette, comedian Brett Crandall, country singer Woody Purcell, and Dustin Michael, a gentleman who's cycling across America to raise awareness for cancer. So please be sure to listen to the new Sunday show. And there's still one last 10 a.m. show tomorrow. So be sure to tune into that one. I thought I'd go out with a bang. I've got my friend Tim Burns coming here tomorrow. So always easy to fill an hour's worth of conversation with my friend Tim Burns. I'd like to talk to you about some other stuff here, but let's see. What do we have? Do we have time for birthdays? There's really no need to. I think we're just going to go ahead and call it a wrap. Let's go ahead and find ourselves some music here. What was I going to say? It's a beautiful day. I hope you get outside and have your lunch outdoors. Be good to yourself. Be good to everybody around you. There's no reason not to be. Especially be good to yourself. My name is David Bublitz. This has been the 12-Hour Radio Show, and I will see you back here first thing in the morning at 10 a.m. on this, your 12-Hour Radio Show.